Well, this morning we're in the third week of a four-week Advent message series called Hope is on the Way. And as many of you know, the Advent season is a season of preparation, a time where we look at the events leading up to the birth of Christ and prepare ourselves emotionally and spiritually to truly celebrate the coming of the Christ child and its meaning for our world and for our lives. In the first week, Pastor Cindy shared with us from the perspective of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and his prophetic words about the one who was to come, the one who would bring light and hope into the darkness of our world. And then last week we focused on another biblical character in the Christmas story, and that was a woman by the name of Elizabeth, a much older relative of Mary who late in life became pregnant with a son who would be known to us as John the Baptist, one who would prepare the way for Jesus. And now today, our focus is on that well-known line from the Christmas story, and there was no room for them in the inn. Our scripture reading for today comes from the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 through 7. And today I'll be reading from the New International Version. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in the manger because there was no guest rooms available for them. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we ask for you to speak to us through these words of Scripture, and through the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, some of you probably know our family's Christmas Eve drill. On Christmas Eve, we have four services here at the church. The last one, the 11 o'clock service, finishes up about midnight. So somewhere about 12:30 in the morning, we hit the road traveling to be with family. The car is all loaded, the dogs are ready, everything's gassed up, and as soon as I shake that last hand on Christmas Eve, we head west. It's about an eight-hour trip, which puts us at my in-laws at 8:30 in the morning in time to open presents, eat an amazing breakfast, and then crash until it's time for dinner. And just about every year, we encounter something that each year I just think is more and more neat. Each year we stop at this service plaza near Brantford, Ontario. It's usually about 4:30 in the morning, and all is calm and all is bright. There's a lot of 18-wheel rigs that are parked up in that parking area with their engines idling. And my guess is that they're keeping the drivers warm as Sugar Plum dance in their heads. But off to the side of all these parks and all these trucks parked out is this 18-wheel rig. And it's all lit up with Christmas lights with a huge cross on top. It's a mobile chapel that's open all night, especially for truckers. And I just put up a picture of it on our church Facebook page and on my own Facebook page. And every year, I've been tempted to stop in and just say hi and wish them a blessed Christmas. And they're like, no, we got to go. Maybe we'll do it this year. But I think this is such a wonderful thing. To be out there on Christmas Eve for people who are out working on the road. People that we often don't think about. Our experience reminded me of a story that was written by Harriet Ritchie that I read some time ago in the Christian Century. I love this story. Following their church's late-night Christmas Eve service, Harriet and her family decided to stop somewhere for a late-night breakfast. The only place open that late on Christmas Eve was a truck stop at the nearby interstate junction. A few big diesels rumbled outside. Inside, a few truckers sat around the counter, and a jukebox played a country song that went something like this. When you leave, walk out backwards so I think you're coming in. On the front windows, there were a few multicolored blinking lights, and the place smelled like bacon grease and stale cigarette smoke. There's a one-armed man stood behind the counter, and the family squeezed into a booth. A thin waitress named Rita sauntered over, and she managed a weary smile and handed them their menus. And Harriet looked around. She felt a little bit like a snob, out of place. Her family had just come from a beautiful Christmas Eve service, and soon they would be heading to their lovely home that night. She thought one day they would look back with a laugh and say to each other, "Remember that the Christmas we ate breakfast at the truck stop? That awful music and those tacky lights?" She was staring out the window when an old Volkswagen van drove up. A young man with a beard and wearing jeans got out. He walked around and opened the door for a young woman who was holding a baby. They hurried inside and took a booth nearby. When Rita, the waitress, took their order, the baby began to cry, and neither of the young parents could quiet him. Rita reached over and held out her arms and said, "Sit down and drink your coffee, hon. Let me see what I can do." And it was evident that Rita had done this before with her own brood. She began talking and walking around the place, and she showed the baby to one of the truckers, who began whistling and smiling and making silly faces, and the baby stopped crying. She showed the baby the blinking lights on the windows and the lights on the jukebox, and she brought the baby over to Harriet's table. "Just take a look at this darling," she said. "Mine, they're so big and grown." The one-armed fellow behind the counter brought a pot of coffee to Harriet's table. And as he refilled their mugs, Harriet felt tears in her eyes. Her husband wanted to know what was wrong. "Nothing, just Christmas," she told him, reaching into her purse for a Kleenex and a quarter. "Go see if you can find the Christmas song in the jukebox," she told her children. When they were gone, Harriet said, "He'd come here, wouldn't he?" "Who?" her husband asked. "Jesus," Harriet said. "If Jesus were born in this town tonight and the choices were our neighborhood or our church or this truck stop, it would be here, wouldn't it?" Her husband didn't have an answer right away, but looked around the place and looked at the people and finally said, "Either here or a homeless shelter." "That's what bothers me," Harriet said. "When we first got here, I felt sorry for these people because they probably aren't going home to neighborhoods where the houses have candles in the windows and wreaths on the door. And listening to that awful music, I thought, I'll bet no one here has ever heard of Handel. Now I think that more than any place I know, this is where Christmas is. But I don't belong." And as they walked to the car, her husband put his arm around her. "Remember," he reminded her, "the angel said, I bring good news of great joy to all people." In the New Testament book of Hebrews, the writer states this: "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, For by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Two things that I think we can take home with us today is, first, the importance of making room, of welcoming people, of opening ourselves to others, of knowing that God often uses our hospitality and our open doors and our open hearts in ways we will never understand. Second is the importance of making room in our own life for God to live and dwell, to realize that God is always at our door, seeking a place for His Spirit to live and move within our lives. In the passage, or the innkeeper, or maybe it was the innkeeper's wife, was moved by compassion to find room for Mary and Joseph, unknowing who they were in the scope of history and how the world would change by the presence of this child yet to be born. They had no idea. It's a story that many of us have heard many times, but I'd like us this morning to take a little closer look to our scripture reading for today, where it says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree, a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone should go to their own town to register." Dr. William Hill was a New Testament professor, taught both at Samford and at Southern Seminary, tells us this. The reason the Roman census was taken was because the oppressive Roman Empire wanted to make sure that everyone was paying their tax. And it was a form of intimidation, making sure people knew exactly who was in charge, and that was Rome. And I find this interesting. Hull points out that the census was strictly a male affair. Rome was not interested, was only interested in head of households and in property, which included wives. So Joseph could have easily made the journey to Bethlehem all on his own. In fact, he probably would have if it hadn't been for other reasons. It's quite likely that Joseph brought Mary with him to spare her of further embarrassment. Joseph, who had been convinced himself of Mary's story through a dream, took the occasion of the census to move her to Bethlehem and get her out and away from the mean-spirited gossip of Nazareth. This was not an easy choice, for in those days, birth was essentially a family and especially a female-centered experience. The older women of the village and both relatives and friends were the ones who would be with the mother at this time, and by having to flee like a refugee to Bethlehem, Mary was forced to face this momentous event without any kind of supportive community. She only had Joseph and some barn animals by her side. So these were challenging circumstances without even considering the uniqueness of this pregnancy. Think about all the things she'd endured. Driven from her home by all the wagging tongues and pointing fingers, and now giving birth to her first child in a smelly, stinky stable. But God was there. Just like God is in that 18-wheel chapel at the truck stop or in the restaurant on Christmas Eve. Hull points out that there was absolutely no privacy in the Palestinian inns of that day, that they consisted of an open courtyard where animals roamed and baggage was stored. And off this courtyard were little stalls where people slept, and this was obviously a poor place for something like a birth to occur. And he suggests that the innkeeper must have realized this and took it on himself, or perhaps his wife, to find a cave that the shepherds used in the winter months to house their sheep. At this time, the shepherds were out in the fields with their flocks, so this unused cave or stable would be a place of privacy where Mary could give birth to her child in dignity. And Hull suggests that the innkeeper, instead of being maligned as he has often done in countless Christmas sermons, that the innkeeper should be praised for going out of his way to help this refugee couple in their time of need. No room for them in the inn? Those words paint a picture that perhaps are not all that accurate of what actually happened on that blessed night. Perhaps the manger was exactly the place that Mary and Joseph needed. And the innkeeper moves from being a villain in this story and instead sets an example for you and me. An example of hospitality. An example of finding room, of making room, of offering a room of hope and entertaining angels unaware. Truth is, Jesus came to bring hope to all peoples everywhere and tells us that in God's house there are many rooms, that there are always rooms, and that there are always rooms for hope. That there are rooms for carpenters and unwed mothers. That there is room for refugees and people who are far from God. That there are room for truckers and people who will never set foot in a church. God has a room for all of us. That's the very reason God became flesh and dwelt among us, to let us know of his love and to live in hope, a room of hope, where the doors are always open and God is always inviting us in. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to see that you are at work, that you are always at work, in messy stables, in truck stop chapels and truck stop diners, that you are always at work providing us with a room of hope, hope that finds its home in you. Help us to open the doors of our hearts and help us to open doors so others might find and experience your love. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.